Amen. Appreciate the good service the Lord's blessed us with already. And I want to remind you that this next week they're having a tent meeting at the House of Prayer. Brother Ricky Savage is going to be preaching. And Brother Dennis Heath was supposed to, but his mother-in-law's critically ill. And so Brother Ricky was nearby and had the week off. So that worked out. So be in prayer for Brother Dennis Heath and be in prayer about the tent meeting that they're having. And go out and be with them if you can. And next Saturday, week from today, we're going to have the church picnic, the fun day. And check with Brother John Lott and Brother Dwayne and Brother Robert. See if you can do something, if you can help in any way out there. And Sister Gwen, and I don't know who all else is taking care of the food. I know there's a lot of things that can be done about this day, and be in prayer. You know, there's a way that we can influence people through this day, because there's people that come out and have fun and fellowship with the church, and it's a way to be a witness. So let's ask the Lord to help us. And then, of course, a week from tomorrow, we're starting revival with Brother Mark Lowry. And so be in prayer concerning this revival. I want to read from the book of Acts, chapter 2, if you would like to read there with me. I pray that the Lord would be merciful to all of us and help us here in this service. In Acts, chapter 2, and verse 1, sometimes we preach from unfamiliar territory, but this really isn't unfamiliar to us. I trust and pray that it's not unfamiliar in our experience, because although that we have an understanding of this passage and even may have a glorious history in this passage, I don't want to just get beyond the idea that this is a past. This is past tense. I want us to have a present tense experience about Acts chapter 2. When I say Acts chapter 2, you say, oh, well, I done know all that. Well, maybe you do. But what does that matter? Amen. Amen. What does that matter? Does that give us leeway to say, well, you know, we've already heard all that, and we've already experienced all that. Let's dismiss early. I don't believe so. I think it's something that we need to have an up-to-date experience in. Amen. Said verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were there dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, must have got noisy, I reckon. When this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speaking in his own language. And I think it's 17 languages here that they heard them speak. And then it gives the list here. And verse 12 says, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams,
and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And then going on down in verse 36 says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Savior. And all of this was a sign to them that the one that they had crucified was exalted by God as Lord and Savior. I have several thoughts going through my mind, and so I'll just title this message maybe The Holy Guest. The Holy Guest. And maybe I can get all of these other thoughts in my mind under that title there, The Holy Guest. There are many subjects that are throughout the Word of God that are very important to us. And in the New Testament, we cannot ever get away from the cross and Jesus Christ. And I think we'll always go back to that. That's the most important central point. But we'll also have to admit the power of the Holy Ghost and the ability of the church to go forward hinges upon our understanding of the power of the Holy Ghost, our sensitivity of the Holy Ghost, our longing for the Spirit of God to come and touch us. Now, there are many titles that he's revealed as, and we see him as the Spirit of Truth. And we understand that when the Holy Ghost comes upon us, he makes us longing for the truth. This book was written by him through instruments of humanity, but it was inspired of the Holy Ghost. And so the Spirit of Truth is always going to agree with the Bible. Can you say amen here tonight? We talk about the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of Holiness, and the emphasis there is upon the holiness, not only of the third person of the triune God, but also of his influence upon us. Let me tell you something, brothers. If there is no influence of holiness, that's not a real move of the Holy Ghost. It's really not. Somebody might get excited, emotional, or get caught up with other people's blessings. I've seen sometimes I feel as though that there's been a move of the Holy Ghost in certain folks, and yet there's been others that maybe wasn't as affected deeply in their hearts. They just kind of got caught up in the move of the Spirit rather than actually living a holy life. And I believe that when you really get touched by the Spirit of the Lord in a service, it's going to change your life. You're going to quit some things. You're going to start doing some things. You will lay off some things. And I can't, as last weekend sometime, we had people testifying about how when they got saved and the Spirit of the Lord was moving on their hearts, they stopped loving television. They stopped loving some of these things, and they had another love that had come into their spirits and souls. And so that's just an automatic effect when the Holy Ghost begins to really move in someone's life. He will deal with them about ball games and about rodeos and about worldly places and worldly dressing and so on. He will deal with them, but it's not going to be necessarily just an idea that, oh, I have to give this up. It's an influence. Just like Sister Mickey was talking about how she loved country western music. And then she got saved and the Spirit of the Lord was moving on her, and the holy influence of that holy person, amen, began to move upon her. And after a little while, it wasn't like, oh, I've got to give this up. I just can't hardly tear myself away from it. Amen. She lost her love for that. Amen. It's because she hung around. She was, if I could put it that way, she was in the presence of holiness. Amen. Spirit of holiness. Holy Ghost. And when you are in the presence of the Holy Ghost, let me tell you, he's going to do some sanctifying in your hearts. There's going to be some changing in your love and what you really want to be and who you want to be associated with. Amen. And let me tell you something. The Bible even talks about the very appearance of evil, the very appearance of rebellion, the very appearance, of sensuality, the very appearance, of stuff like that. We don't want
to be associated with that, do we? There may not even be anything wrong with some things, but I'll tell you, I don't want to even be associated with evil in any way, so I want to stay as far as way I can. But I do want to be associated with the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of holiness. He's called the Spirit of Christ because he lifts up Jesus and he forms Christ in our hearts and lives. Let me tell you something. The most Christ-like person is going to be the person that is most filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. The most Christ-like person is going to be the one that's most yielded to the Spirit of God. You get to reading the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. And you could match them all up with Jesus, couldn't you? Amen. Amen. All the 9 fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and gentleness, meekness. Maybe I'm not getting them, faith and temperance. Amen. Couldn't you preach a message about Jesus on every one of them? Amen. Couldn't you preach about love in Jesus, joy in Jesus? Amen. Gentleness in Jesus, temperance in Jesus, faith in Jesus. Couldn't you just go down the line? And what happens is the Spirit of God produces Jesus in us. That's what happens. Oh, glory. That's why it's important for us to have Holy Ghost services. That's why it's needful for us to have Holy Ghost moves of the Spirit in our prayer time at home. And again, I emphasized this a few weeks ago. We need the Holy Ghost to fall in our homes and let the Spirit of Christ rule in our homes. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Sister Eileen was reading her Bible and praying in that truck after a frustrating time. All of a sudden, the one that wrote the book came in there and gave her peace in her spirit. That's what happens. We need a move of the Holy Ghost everywhere we go, whatever situation that we're involved in. And I could talk about a lot of other titles of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But there is that one that is mainly in our King James Bible, the Holy Ghost. And sometimes when we get to talking about ghost, we think about, you know, kind of something spooky, kind of, don't we? You know, ghosts, Halloween, and stuff like that. People run around with sheets over their head. Now, let me tell you, I know you don't think about that when you say Holy Ghost, but if I didn't say Holy Ghost and I just said ghost, that's what you'd think of, right? Because that word has, really, in the original Anglo-Saxon, way back years ago, it meant a guest. A guest. You can see that, can't you? It changed over the years, amen, to meaning some type of a spooky guest, I guess, you know. But, amen, aren't you glad for a holy guest? A holy guest to come down in our midst. Oh, an exalted guest. A separated guest. One that is lifted up and exalted in our... You know, this word holy means separated. And I realize he comes down and separates us. But let me just tell you, he's not just any guest. No, he's not. He's separated and more special than any guest that we could ever have in our church service. Hey, man, if we had some of these political figures come in here, we would be honored that they'd be here, even if we didn't agree with them, even if we didn't like their policies and so on. We'd be friendly, we'd be honored, we'd be happy. But let me tell you something. Hey, man, if the most popular, favored person in the world came in here, they would not honor us as much as this holy, separated guest from heaven that comes down in our midst and is here with us on this Saturday night. Amen. Oh, we better never take it for granted. We better never take it for granted that we are in a service and we are, amen. In fact, we shouldn't take it for granted as we're getting ready for church. Amen. And think, well, it's going to be just another service. Amen. Every service has the potential, amen, of a special visitation.
amen, of a high visitation to this low place. Amen. Yes, we're all lowly. Yes, we are. Oh, we need this Holy Ghost to come down and make us effective and make us what we should be. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. This guest came at a crisis. Jesus had left, and it was a terrible thing. It was a big transition. You'll have to admit, 3.5 years of Jesus, and then all of a sudden, he's gone through the cross, and he's raised from the dead, and you're getting ready to just have revival and set the world on fire and set up the throne in Jerusalem and rule and reign, and everything's going to be good, and all of a sudden, there he goes. Whew. Boy, you talk about a disappointment. Amen. But, amen, there was a transition. The Holy Ghost came in the upper room. And, oh, glory. I just want you to know, and I realize Fairlands went through a transition, and it doesn't seem like it. Here I've been here 12 years. Isn't that amazing? 12 years. I can't hardly believe it. 10 years ago in January, you voted me in as pastor, and that's amazing as well. And 12 years ago, Luke was 3 years old when we came in June. And Titus was 6 years old. And Stephen was on the creek bank fishing somewhere. Amen. He wasn't even around. Amen. And John Mark was just a baby. He was 7 months old. There's a lot of transitions for us coming here. And I know there's a lot of transitions for you, and I doubt you're over it. Just as yet, as far as me coming in here, I realize I'm different than Brother Shaw. I understand that. But there's other transitions. Brother Boos and Brother Don Earl and Brother Willie Bond, Brother Herbert, and all them great godly men, you know, they've been promoted. And we're still down here, and we've got great men, Brother Robert, Brother Dwayne, as deacons. And I also want to tell you, sometimes we forget that there was a transition in young preachers, and maybe not necessarily just young preachers, but preachers going out. Hey, when I came here, Saturday night testimony service, Brad Moss was a preaching over here. Tracy Boyd was a preaching right here. Joe Armbrister was a preaching. And I mean, listen, we didn't have Saturday night and Wednesday night. Old Tracy Boyd was telling me the other day, he said, I was just thinking, boy, there was a day all I did was drive a truck all day and think about what I was going to testify and preach about that night. He said, boy, it was a whole lot different. There's a big, big difference. Amen. And some have come back, you know, some left and some come back. There's a big transition that went on in some of these that went out. And may I say to you, there's one thing that we can never change about our church. People come and go. I understand. Leadership changes and it just happens. And sometimes we wish we could have just kept it the way that it always was. But that's not God's will. But it is always God's will for the Holy Ghost to come down into the church service. Amen. It's always God's will for the Spirit of God to charge our song service, to anoint our special singing, to bless our testimony services, to move when the preacher's preaching, and to visit us around these altars. I realize a lot of things have changed in 12 years, but I'll tell you there's one thing that never needs to change, and that is the Holy Ghost coming down and visiting us. Amen. The same thing that brought the power of the Holy Ghost years ago, amen, we'll bring it right now. Amen. If you come to church prayed up and ready to worship God and full of faith and hope and full of a love for God and tender to the Spirit of the Lord, let me tell you something. That same guest that visited in the past still wants to visit us here tonight. Hallelujah. Y'all believe that here? Amen. Things change. It just happens. Death comes and changes some things. The will of God changes some things. Amen. God moves in different vessels. But still God moving. Amen. Jesus was ascended, but there was another guest. Amen. That was similar. Amen. Yes, another one, but just like Jesus. Hallelujah. He came down in their midst. He set them on fire. He helped them to preach the gospel. Oh, glory to God. Amen. You see the apostle Peter, amen, at the fire. I don't know. It says he warmed himself by the fire, by the devil's fire. I don't know if he knelt down. I can't remember if the Bible says that. But him warming himself has the idea of kind of bowing down to me. Is that the way it is to you? Maybe not. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he stood up straight and did, you know. But I have a feeling he probably got close to the fire. Amen. And he didn't speak up. Amen. But I want you to notice verse 14, after the Holy Ghost came, but Peter standing up. Whew. He stood up. And then with the 11, and he lifted up his voice. Oh, glory. That's what this Holy Ghost, Holy Guest will do for you. Amen. He'll make you stand up. And he'll make you lift up Jesus Christ. Oh, before he was bowing over and he was being quiet and he was cursing and denying. But now really it would have been a lot more convenient for him to just be quiet. But he couldn't be quiet because the Holy Guest had come down in his life. And he had to stand up and he had to speak up. Oh, that's what this church needs. We need the Holy Guest to come down and put something in our hearts. In such a way we have to stand up and give glory to Jesus and lift up our voice and exalt his holy name. Oh, glory to God. Amen. There's a cure for our intimidation at times that we have. And I realize the devil tries to beat you up over things and so on. But I'll tell you, if we just stand up and lift up. Oh, I believe that'd change a whole lot of things. Amen. The apostle Peter, as he preached to these people, seemed as though that the main thing about all of this day, of course, was the fulfillment of the prophecy in Joel. But he also said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Savior. He said, you see this moving of the Holy Ghost? You see what's going on right now? You see all of this? This proves Jesus that you crucified is at the right hand of the Father. That's what this proves. Hallelujah. This pouring out of the Holy Ghost proves that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. Oh, amen. I tell you, you can argue all you want to with some people and they'll never get it. But one good move of the Holy Ghost can open their eyes. And they may not be able to explain it. Amen. But the Holy Ghost can move. And I was reading just earlier this week about the revival that took place in Kentucky in the early 1800s. Amen. Religion was down in America. People was naming themselves, even renaming themselves after the popular atheist writers. Amen. And it was a horrible time in America. And Kentucky was the worst, one of the worst places. Not really, Massachusetts and different places of higher education. Amen. It was entrenched in the schools of higher learning, and people had it in their minds, amen, that Christ was not real and they was going with this Unitarian type stuff. And I'm telling you, there was an apostasy of great wickedness and they was going with atheism. Amen. It was a horrible time in America, but in Kentucky, it was not because of an intellectual thing. It was because that people was just out there in the rough woods and about all they did was want to fight and drink and that's about all there was. Sin, fighting, drinking, that's all there was.
Amen. And a Presbyterian preacher came out and started preaching. And at a communion service, the Holy Ghost fell. And people fell on their faces and repented of their sins, unable to move. Well, that developed until the next place they had communion. Isn't it something? The Holy Ghost fell while they was taking communion, and the Lord was being lifted up. They was remembering Jesus. Amen. As they was taking communion, all of a sudden again, the Holy Ghost fell at another place. He had three places to preach. And people got saved, fell on their face. Eventually, this all developed into a camp meeting at Cane Ridge, Kentucky. Amen. They said sometimes it looked as though thousands were being shot by cannon fire and people were falling on their face. And the fellow that I was reading didn't come at it really from a Christian perspective. He came at it from a historian's perspective. He said, you may say that there were people just caught up in the emotion. And he said, there probably was. But let me tell you about one certain individual who was raised in a preacher's home, who had no intentions on getting saved, who had no desire, who heard about it and thought it was a circus and thought it was foolishness, and decided he'd go down there. And when he went down there to Cane Ridge, Kentucky, and saw what was going on, he became so troubled about his lost condition, he couldn't hardly still himself from shaking. He found him a place that had some whiskey and drank some of that old whiskey, amen, and tried to calm his nerves, and went back to the meeting and started shaking and trembling. As he was walking away, all of a sudden, he started crying uncontrollably and fell on the ground for, I believe, 24 hours and cried and cried and cried for 24 hours. Amen. And when he got up from there, he didn't want no booze. He didn't want no liquor. He was a changed man. Oh, great Lord in heaven. What happened? A Holy Ghost came down, lifted up Jesus, cut down sin. Amen. Oh, yeah, some things can happen in a move of the Holy Ghost that this world doesn't understand. And this world might even look on and say it's a circus. Well, they look like drunk people. They look like they've lost their mind. They've laughed and laughed and laughed. And I can't understand why they're so happy. Amen. They danced and danced and danced. And what in the world do they have to be so joyful about? Amen. They've raised their hands and they look like they're beaming with a heavenly joy. What in the world does that mean? They might come out to see you. They might come out to make fun. I'm telling you, the same Holy Ghost that comes and brings joy to the church can bring conviction to our lost loved ones. And then let me just say to you, it says there was about 120 there. Amen. Now, this was not all the Christians that believed on Jesus and his resurrection. Because there was above 500 at one time saw him ascend. So this was not even the majority of people that believed Jesus had raised from the dead. Now, I'm not going to condemn them. I don't know why they wasn't there. I really don't. Seemed like they should have been. Seemed like they all should have been there. But maybe they had a good reason. I don't know. I feel sorry for them if they had a good reason. Amen. I really do. But you know what? The Holy Ghost fell, really, even compared to above 500 at once, and there was probably more than that, the Holy Ghost fell on the minority. A smaller percentage of believers. Now, that's not the way it has to be. I'm not saying that. He fell on all that was there. Amen.
So everybody in this service tonight can have a visit from the Holy Guest. But this is my point. Many times God uses a small group to affect the whole. He used about 120 to affect the rest of the believers and affect these 3,000 that got saved. In fact, I just want to ask you, did the whole nation of Israel, even when they were at their best with God, affect the whole world the way those 120 have, even still? Oh, God. My point to you is this. Everybody don't have to be here to get blessed by what happens in this service. Everybody don't have to be in Sunday morning service or Sunday night or even attend the whole revival to be blessed. Amen. God many a time starts with the most dedicated of the church, the most consecrated to the church, the ones that will separate themselves and sacrifice, amen, in order to separate themselves to a move of the Holy Ghost. And here tonight, I appreciate you being here on Saturday night. Do you realize we could have an altar service in this place, this very service, amen, that could raise the spiritual water level so high that it would be flood tide in the morning, flood tide tomorrow night. Amen, the wave of the Holy Ghost that starts tonight. Amen, and these that have come could affect the ones that are coming in the morning and tomorrow night. And I want to preach to you, amen, that we need that Holy Guest to come down and visit us now. We need him tomorrow, but we have to have him tonight. Amen. We must affect the rest of our church people. Amen. Glory to God. You know that revival that started in Kentucky, in the backwoods of Kentucky, affected the intellectuals. Amen. In different parts of the country. In fact, it was there that the second great awakening started. Oh, you know, God can do something with a few in number. Remember, Gideon's army won the victory for a whole lot more people. Hallelujah. I appreciate you being here tonight. I believe God's wanting to visit us. I believe the Lord's wanting to help us. Hey, man, I'd like my boys to get a refilling of the Holy Ghost. I'd like to see our children. I'd like to see our children, our little children, moving by the Spirit. I'd like to see Braden back up here just a shaking under the Holy Ghost. And amen. But God wants to visit us. Amen. The Holy Ghost wants to visit us. Could we all stand? Let's raise our hands and thank him. Thank him. Thank him for the past. I believe he still desires to help us here tonight. Oh, God, I love you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. If you need a refilling of the Holy Ghost, or maybe you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you've never received the power of the Holy Ghost like on the day of Pentecost, you'd like to come on up here, come on up here and stand, raise your hands and start lifting up Jesus. Amen, because you remember, this is all a sign that Jesus has been exalted. Do you need a move of the Holy Ghost in your life? Amen. If you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost or a refilling of the Spirit of God, come on right now. And let's lift up Jesus. Let me tell you, when Jesus is exalted, the Holy Ghost comes. When Jesus is exalted, the Holy Ghost comes. Come and let's lift him up. Let's exalt him. Oh, get full. Amen. Oh, yes, this could be a tsunami of the Spirit of God that would just carry us.
Carry us in the Holy Ghost. Carry us in the revival that is to come. Oh, some of you just need a good move of the Spirit. Would you come? Would you come?